Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 78 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, before we jump into this episode, we actually want to take a little bit and thank Marty DeRosa for coming in, sitting in last week, doing the special interview. It was an easy listen. It was just so much fun from beginning to end.
Yep, he is officially an honorary Toon Brother. Listening to his stories, it's been great because we've been getting a lot of feedback on Twitter from our listeners, and a lot of people were able to identify with Marty because they did the exact same thing that he did, be it customizing figures, setting up angles and booking your figures in certain matches and setting up pay-per-views. It was just an awesome conversation to hear about another person that not only fits into the Fig Life community, but kind of grew up the exact same we did with figures and begging our parents to pick them up because we had to have every one of them. So yeah, it was an easy conversation from start to finish. It just a great time getting to hear another person's stories about being in the Fig Life community. And that's what it's all about. And we look forward to more interviews, hopefully more with Marty, Breaker and Bane coming up soon. And thank you very much, Marty.
From beginning to end, it was easy going. It just flowed. I actually debated if I was going to make it a two-parter, but I didn't want to lose that feel. I never wanted to stop that feel of like three people just sitting down, just talking wrestling figures. And I never wanted to lose that. And that's why I decided to keep the episode an hour and 49 minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't break it up at all. Like I said, the whole conversation just flowed. And a great time. I can't wait to have another conversation with Marty. You know, we can get into if he did any Jacks or Mattel collecting or anything like that, because really the brunt of the conversation really focused on 80s and 90s figures. And that was just so awesome just to go back. Big nostalgia for us and just a great conversation with Marty. If you haven't checked it out yet, definitely go give it a listen. It's actually a quick listen. It's 2 hours, but it goes by super quick. And it's funny because at Ring Skirts hit me up, and I think he hit up you as well. And he actually said he was kind of upset when the episode ended because he wanted more. And I'll tell you, Nate, I did too. So I'm really looking forward to our next conversation with Marty DeRosa. That was a lot of fun.
Mark.
Oh, come on, dude. That is not fair.
I had to.
Yeah, I'm a mark for our own podcast. Shame on me.
Head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up those Fully Posable Goes Retro and Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirts. Those help out our podcast alike. Scott keeps mentioning it each week. I should call you Don West.
Yeah. Buy the shirt! Send my kids to college!
Each t-shirt sold, money is kicked back to us, to which we turn around and put it towards the next design. And pins, which are coming up in about 2 to 3 weeks. Those will be sold through me, so DM us on our Twitter. Those will be sold directly through me, not through Pollyanna. Those are sold through the Fully Posable guys out here. So if you guys want a pin, I'll let you know when they're in, and I will get those out to you. Those will be handled by me, and I'll also throw in a little something else. You can also get the Fig Life t-shirt, hashtag Fig Life t-shirt. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the old school one. But yeah, slide into our DMs and we'll stick you with a pin.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and of course now Facebook at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Give us those 5 stars. That helps us move up the charts. Tell friends to search wrestling figures in iTunes, and we're the first ones to pop up. You can email any audio questions, any questions, or anything at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, any toy spotting this week?
Actually, me personally, no. However, I got to give myself a pat on the back this week because I think I'm raising my kids right. Not only is Peyton a huge wrestling fan, like loves watching it with me, but my 16-year-old went to the mall with her best friend. I drop her off in front of Target, and I said, Alana, I'm letting you go to the mall, but before you step foot in that mall, I want you to go straight to the toys in Target and call me from the action figure aisle and let me know which WWE figures they have. She goes, okay, no problem. I'm driving away from Target. No more than like 2 minutes later, Alana calls me, and she's running through the list of guys. She doesn't have me on FaceTime. She just called me and told me who they had. And she's like, okay, they've got Dolph Ziggler, and she mentioned off a couple other names, Zack Ryder and Nia Jax. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They've got Nia? She goes, yeah, they've got like 3 Nia Jax. I said, okay, pick the best card. How much money do you have on you? And I think she had like 50 or 60 bucks. I'm like, okay, good. What else do they have? And she's running through and she's like, they've got a couple of Hall of Fame guys. They've got Sting and they've got Edge. And I'm like, I'm immediately doing math in my head. Okay, there's 20 and 20 and 10. Oh, she's going to be tight. So fast forward a little bit. My 16-year-old ended up picking me up the best carded Nia Jax that they had at Target. I did pass on Edge and Sting.
You did pass on the Edge and Sting, huh?
Yeah, I'm thinking wall space at this point. I can't hang every figure I've got. In fact, I've got them starting to build up on my desk, including my Hasbro throwbacks, and I've got to find a home for those up on my wall. So I might have to pull down some of my autographed 8x10s and start hanging figures because I'm running out of wall space real quick. So that is the only reason that I passed on that Edge and Sting Hall of Fame. But I do have a killer looking Nia Jax basic that's going to be going up soon.
Funny, I was talking to special guest Sean, and he found the Edge at Target in Manteca.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I almost bought it, but I passed. He says, I will give you credit, that figure is a lot better than the pictures that were shown.
Yes.
He goes, there's only one reason I did not buy it. And I was like, what was that? And he goes, it didn't have the rated R superstar title in it.
Yes, that was a miss.
And he goes, that's the only reason. He goes, I thought the jacket was really good. He goes, the face on the figure was better than what we saw, but it was missing that title. And that was the only reason I didn't buy it.
Yeah, he's 100% right. If it had that title, it would have been a no-brainer for me. Alana would have been spending another 20 bucks.
I did do toy spotting. Nothing around here. Nothing new to report. Just stuff that everybody's finding out and about. I do have to say, I got home from the gym on Saturday morning and I was checking Twitter, and Rant with Ant had posted the variant medal Finn Balor. So it's kind of like his SummerSlam when he hurt his arm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got the green tongue on it. So it was funny. Bane jumped in and he goes, hey, out of curiosity, where'd you get that? And he goes, oh, my dad got it off eBay. And he goes, by the way, was it from FIO Toys, which is Bane's side gig? So Ant goes, yeah. And he goes, yeah. He goes, that's from me. And I jumped in and I said, Bane, do you have any more of those at FIO Toys? And he goes, we got one left. I jumped in and got it.
Oh, nice.
It was here on Tuesday. And dude, that medal is so good, dude. I've got to give it up to these medals. These things, they're just crushing it on these things. But I just kept thinking, I can't get into another collection. I just can't get into another collection. And I'm buying more and more medals.
Yeah, the medals do look really good. I'd be tempted to not buy basics for the medals, but with some of the basics that they're coming out with, which we'll be getting to in the news, I can't not buy them. I need to keep going with the Mattels, so I'm passing on the medals. There are certain ones that I will pick up down the road. I will definitely be getting a KO, obviously a Sasha at some point. Just right now, my focus is really Mattels, and I do have one, actually. Special guest Sean got me the Finn Balor for my birthday in February. So that is the one that I have in my collection. It's not the variant. It's the one that you found at Toys R Us, the standard one. But they are so awesome. I completely agree with you.
Scott, we've got a laundry list of news. And it's funny, this is the week before San Diego Comic-Con, and we still have a ton of news.
Yeah, these next couple of weeks, man, filled to the brim with news.
So what do you say we jump into that news?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, in the news this week, WWE today teased a picture. It was kind of a silhouette of Sasha Banks.
Allegedly.
They teased a picture and they said that Mattel WWE exclusives for San Diego Comic-Con next week. Thinking that it's the Barbies or the WWE women doll line?
Yeah, that's what it looks like, which how interesting that they would put out exclusives of them before actually releasing them to the general public. I actually think that's kind of cool. I mean, as long as you can get your hands on one, it's very cool. But to the rest of us, we're like, come on, man. We want to see him on the pegs first.
We want to see that Charlotte defining moment. Come on.
Yeah, could you imagine? Because, okay, the silhouette did look like her WrestleMania outfit, right?
Yes.
Could you imagine if that is the first figure Mattel releases?
Her WrestleMania 32?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I want. And I want it with the two titles. As the Diva title is going away, the new championship is coming in.
Right, but her first elite style or defining moment style figure actually comes out in the Barbie doll line. Which, I mean, on one hand, the collector side of me is like, really? Like, you made me wait this long and the first one is in the Barbie figures. But at the same time, it's kind of cool for the kids that want to collect that. So I can't gripe too much, I guess.
You were saying that Peyton is going to want these dolls?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, I was just getting her into the regular, like the basic style and elite style figures. And here they come out with the Barbie doll styles, which she already kind of plays with those. So, yeah, she might be doing both. But yeah, she wants the entire set.
Just makes sense. So she would be getting like Sasha, Charlotte, Bayley.
Oh, definitely. I hope next they make a cartoon.
Like Rock and Wrestling?
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Well, they do DC Superhero Girls. So why not release a women's cartoon kind of along that same line?
And news broke this past week also that WWE entrance greats are coming back. I'm so excited about this. This is one line that I wish never went away. Entrance greats were terrific. They had, if you guys go back, they were the figure in a box on a stand and it would play their music.
Yeah, I think you could turn them too. Like,
yeah, I never took mine out of the box. I had Michaels, I had Jericho. I never got the Ray where he was in his WrestleMania 22 outfit.
Yeah, did you get the Triple H wearing his Conan outfit?
I did. And I think I got Million Dollar Man out in one of my bins out there.
Yeah, I really, really like the entrance greats. Like you, I have no idea why they ever went away. They were such a cool idea. And they display really well, too.
That's what drove me nuts is, like, they went away. I mean, I wouldn't say I saw them on the pegs all the time. Like, there was, every time I went to a Target, there was about two or three left.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't like Ultimate Warrior defining moment from Ultimate Maniacs.
Right. They would eventually dry up. And I remember seeing a lot of HBKs on the pegs, but they eventually went away. So it wasn't like right. They sat there forever, like you mentioned specifically with the Warrior defining moment, where you can still find him plentiful at Walmart. Yeah, these things eventually dried up. So why they ever went away, I have no idea. I don't know if it was production costs or what, but I am really, really happy they're making a comeback.
So now it's time to play the guessing game. Which figures are they going to make?
Well, I hate to be repetitive, but Charlotte?
Charlotte? The Hardys?
Yeah, how about Sasha Banks?
From which?
How about last year's WrestleMania, WrestleMania 32, when she came out with Snoop Dogg? That jacket is just awesome, because they tend to do cloth accessories in those and not molded. So I would love to see Sasha with an actual like cloth jacket.
That was one of the reasons I bought the Million Dollar Man, was because he was in a cloth outfit.
Yep, he came with the cloth jumpsuit and not molded. And that makes a huge difference. We've talked about it before.
Let me see. Hardy's, I would say. Who else has another good entrance that you could probably pop in one of those boxes?
Enzo with the microphone?
Yeah, definitely not Big Cass with just a fist up in the air like Diesel.
No. It would have to be Enzo specifically. But yeah, there's a number of guys that you can pull from. I'm excited to see who they bring out, because they always tended to go towards legends as well. And then those really memorable WrestleMania entrances like Ray that you mentioned, and Triple H from WrestleMania 22, HBK from 12. So I really like where that line was going, and I'm really glad it's coming back, because I'm excited to see who they bring out.
Scott, next up on our list, John Cena Make-A-Wish figure is now available on ToysRUs.com for pre-order.
Yep, go pick it up.
I love that figure. I'm probably going to pick up a couple, support the cause, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely one to put up on the wall. And like you said, support the cause. Would be even a cool one to get signed.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Get that a paint pen on a bubble?
Yes, would look fantastic.
New battle packs were shown yesterday. And I'm going to start off with the worst.
Okay.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
You're probably going to say American Alpha.
Horrible.
Again.
Yes. Okay, hold on. They made a horrible Chad Gable figure and then made it worse. How did you screw that up? There was no other way to go but up, and you found a way to go down.
Yeah, the outfits suck. I'm not a big fan of them. The scans, I'm not a big fan of those. And do you remember how excited we were? If you go back to our San Diego Comic-Con episode from last year, how excited we were about American Alpha coming out, because the renderings look so great. And yep. Then the finished product came out and you're like, Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
They're not so great. I agree with you. Those are definitely the worst out of the three battle packs.
Oh, it was terrible. Up next was the Hype Bros. I thought those were good.
Excellent, excellent. As bad as American Alpha is, the Hype Bros are that great. I am a huge fan of that two-pack.
I love the eye black or the tape things underneath Mojo's eyes.
Yeah.
The yellow tights, everything about it, it's colorful. I love it.
Yeah, a huge fan. And I'm not a big Hype Bros fan, but I am a huge fan of those two figures. They nailed them.
And last but not least, the one that got everyone excited.
Not so much me, but go ahead.
The Sean and Diesel Battle Pack. Sean is in his red HBK tights from reminiscent of 95?
Yeah, about 95.
95, yeah. And Diesel in his gray top black leather pants.
Yes.
One thing I loved about this was the drawing on the back. I love the card.
It looks fantastic.
It looks awesome. I love it. I'm probably going to buy it.
Okay, here's why I'm probably not going to buy it. I love the Shawn Michaels. I think the Shawn Michaels is cool looking. I like the card back, like you mentioned. That drawing of them is awesome. But Diesel looks like white Roman Reigns.
He looks like Sammy Sosa Roman Reigns.
I don't like that Diesel's face at all. They've done way better. Pick an elite head and stick it on that Diesel, and you've got an awesome figure. Maybe, now I might be wrong. Maybe it's the angle that they photographed the two pack at. Maybe the pack itself is at a weird angle and it's making Diesel's face look weird, but he looks like white Roman Reigns.
It didn't bother me as much as it does you, but I do see your point. I do get it.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of the Diesel. I might change my mind when I have the finished product in hand, which has happened before. We've both talked about that where, you know, earlier with the Edge. You know, you hold the figure and you're like, man, this is pretty cool. I think I am going to get this or not. That's what I'm hoping happens with the Diesel, because look, the Dudes with Attitudes have a two pack coming out in a battle pack, and that's only $20 and you get HBK and Diesel. That's an awesome deal. If anything, you just crack them open. You've got a loose Shawn and a loose Diesel. But that Diesel head is just throwing me. The Shawn Michaels is fine. But I mean, especially for a basic, but that Diesel, maybe it'll be different when I see it in person. I'm just not a fan of what I'm seeing.
And that's what I'm hoping for the Chad Gable. And maybe they did do a better job and it was just the way it was photographed. But oh my God, they messed that up.
Yeah, again. But here's the thing. You've got the new TNF series coming out at Walmart.
Right.
And that Gable and that Jordan are going to be coming with the NXT tag team titles that your revival figures need. So maybe you just save your money and buy those instead. And don't take the title out of the package and return the figures. That makes you a horrible person. Don't do that.
Yeah, you know I would not be doing that. But my revival figures are in package, so it doesn't matter if they have the belts or not.
Don't you have two?
No, I only got one.
Ah, okay. I'm hoping to find them on clearance somewhere because I want another set of revival just to open.
That's a tough spot out here. I only found them once.
Our Walmart tends to get, for some reason, they've gotten that battle pack series in a couple times. And if I'm not mistaken, they still have a couple of sets of revival left up on the pegs.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, worst comes to worst, man. I'm going to just keep watching to see if they go on clearance because I want another set just to open.
Scott, Basic 76 on-card images were also shown today. Now, AJ and blue tights, I thought that looked pretty cool. Looks like they put the new Elite head on this basic body.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it looks cool.
I mean, for a $10 basic, it's a good figure.
Dolph, he's wearing his gray tights.
Another Dolph, yes.
Sami Zayn, Rock, and he has a t-shirt on. So does John Cena. Cena mm-hmm. has his blue Respect t-shirt. And last, Macho King Randy Savage.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one to pass up if you see it.
Tell me about it. It's pretty good. I've seen better Macho King figures. If you got that Ringside exclusive from a few years back, there's no reason to get this basic. But if you didn't, I guess you can throw down $10 and pick it up.
Yeah, for $10, that's going to be a hard one to pass up. I'm probably just going to buy that one and open it. It's a really, really cool looking figure. He's ready for action, dude. It's like him in his ring gear.
Yep.
No entrance robes or anything like that. It's just him straight to action. A badass figure.
And last on the WWE front, Network Spotlight Basics. Enzo, he's in his 100 emoji pants.
Best figure in the set next to Sting.
Spoiler alert, Sting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler. Sting's in this one. Surprise.
Orange tight Sting. Actually, Surfer Sting. Obviously, Crow Sting would not be wearing orange tights for any reason.
No, unless he was made by OSFTM. and was released like four times.
Or Toy Biz for some strange reason.
Right.
And Big Cass. But that Sting, okay, I'm trying to stay away from basics. I'm doing my best. I'm doing pretty good lately. But man, that Surfer Sting, anytime they put out a Surfer Sting, I'm a sucker. I'm like, okay.
I am too, dude. The only one I've passed on was the Defining Moment, Great American Bash, because I really didn't like the jacket on it.
Smart move.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, is you can find him right now on Amazon for $13.
Yeah, don't remind me.
If you really... Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
It still burns a little deep, dude.
That's right. Sorry. But to your point, it's hard to pass up a Surfer Sting. And we were talking to Chris Esparza earlier on Facebook, and I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to pass on that Surfer Sting. And he's like, dude, why? It's Surfer Sting. How are you going to pass on Surfer Sting? I'm like, you know what? Good point. I'm probably going to buy this one, too, because I've got the green one. I'm probably going to get the orange one, too.
I don't know if I'm going to get Enzo. I mean, it'll probably be at that time I'm at Toys R Us and I see it and I'm like, all right, here I go. I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah, it's a great Enzo figure.
Yeah, but definitely picking up Surfer Sting for $10.
Yeah, and Brock Lesnar, that's a pass for me.
Thank you. I forgot about Brock.
Well, yeah, understandable.
Do you know that his last three matches have gone maybe a total of like 11 minutes?
Right, and hey, kudos to him for having a match after WrestleMania. Wow. How he's keeping up with that schedule. Woo.
Boy, it's a good thing that WWE put in that 100, must defend the title in within 100 days.
Yeah, I was actually forgetting what that belt looked like. Good for Brock, man.
By the way, I wanted to just add that Okada and Omega have had one match that went 49 minutes longer than Brock's last three matches. Just wanted to throw that in.
Has Brock even wrestled 49 minutes worth of matches since he's been in WWE?
Oh, wait, since he came back in 20, was it 2012?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Scott, FTC, what you got?
FTC this week released their picture of the latest figure coming out in their line, and it is Matt Taven.
Here's my thing. I love the figure. I really, really do.
I agree.
I wish they would have done a little bit different with the hair. I don't know what promo photo Matt Taven gave FTC, say, this is what I want. But I wish they would have had the bandana that Matt Taven wears and had the hair kind of down. I know it sounds weird that I'm complaining about hair. That's the only critique. I know, right? That's the only critique. Everything else, great. Love the jacket. The smirk on the face. It's kind of got that cocky smirk to it. I love it.
That was the one thing that kind of threw me about the figure was the smirk that's on the face.
What do you mean?
When you look at the figure straight on, it's like the mouth is off-center, and I understand what they were going for. It's like a smirk, but it catches your eye at first, like, is that off? And then you look at it some more, and you're like, oh, okay, I see what they were going for in this, but it threw me off at first. Overall, I really do like the figure.
I do, too. I think that jacket makes it.
Yeah, awesome.
And what else in FTC news?
You can head over to the FTC website, and they've got signed Cliff Compton figures ready for you now. Hand signed by Cliff.
Yep. Cliff went in and signed 100 figures for FTC. Not with my paint pen, because I made sure that Chris didn't use my paint pen.
Is he ever going to give that back?
No, he isn't, dude.
Next year's WrestleMania.
I even called him out on it, too. I texted him. I was like, hey, don't use my blue paint pen when these guys are signing.
You know what he should do? He should like put it on a newspaper or something and send it to you like a hostage photo. It's like, I've got your pen.
I should start putting up signs around here, reward for missing paint pen.
Yeah, put it on a milk carton and send them a picture of it.
Yeah, so head on over to FTC, pick up that autographed Cliff Compton. It does come with a COA. Scott, we're getting into our last series of ECW figures.
Yep, ECW forever, but this is the last of their line.
Let's get into this last series of ECW. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. Scott, the last series of ECW, it was series 6. This was called the Thrill Zone, and they went out on a whimper.
Yeah, they really did. Now, Thrill Zone was the name of their TV show, right?
Yes.
Yep. And here is the lineup from ECW Thrill Zone, their last figure series. Consisted of Balls Mahoney, Lance Storm, Raven, RVD, Chris Candido, New Jack, Rhino, and Tommy Dreamer. So in this one, it was all re-releases / repaints. and no new figures. They pretty much, in their last two lines, exhausted all of the new guys they were going to come out with. And this was almost like, here's our leftover stock. This is all we've got left. So here are some extra figures. Just really disappointing.
The Tommy Dreamer, I hated this figure. It was so ugly. He had like a yellow t-shirt on.
Yes.
It said ECW in red. It was just bad.
Yeah, it was almost offensive. Like, you're hurting my eyes. I really don't like that figure.
Rhino had a good repaint, I thought. Other than that, Lance Storm. He was in his traditional red and white, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, that one was cool. Again, it's if you really, really had to have multiple outfits on some of these guys, then this might have been a home run for you. Like we talked to Marty last week, and I was really surprised to hear him say that he actually really dug the repaints because he could make some different guys with it and, you know, different custom jobs or whatever. But for me, it was just... they were just easy passes. Unless I really, really had to have a guy in a separate outfit, I just passed straight up on these.
I did too. So that rounds out ECW. Anything else? Let me see. The ring was terrible.
Yeah.
It did come with RVD. That was kind of a good little push for that ring, but the ring was just awful itself.
Yeah, and that's one of the big pieces of an action figure line, I think, when you put out wrestling figures. You have to have a good ring. Jax had some good rings. We've always talked about the LJN and the Hasbro rings. You can't go wrong with those. But then on the flip side of that, you have the Galoob ring, which was bad. And this ECW ring also was bad. So overall, out of a 10, this line for me was maybe a 6 or a 7. And that might be going a little bit high. A miss with the ring, a lot of repaints. But at its core, when you look at the main guys that came out, it was a good representation of the who's who of ECW. It was their biggest names that they had. The world titles that they put out were really, really good. The only thing missing really were the tag team titles. So overall, I would say 6.5 to 7 out of 10 on this line.
If this line would have came out 3 years earlier, this would have been a great line. This would have probably been up there as one of the best lines.
We had talked about it when we first started discussing the ECW figures. We could have had Eliminators. You could have had the entire Dudley family. You could have had a Joey Styles, a Joel Gertner. The names that were in ECW that had left by the time they got the license, you know, there are so many more names that could have happened. But like you said, you nailed it a little bit late to the party, and that might have cost them ultimately. But, you know, again, with what they put out in the time that they had, it was really a who's who of ECW. It was some of the biggest names they've ever had, and it was good. Just too many repaints and a bad ring is what really knocks it down on my out of 10 meter.
You could add Stevie, Beulah, Francine.
Oh, dude, the whole BWO.
Kimona won it. Well, yeah, you could have had the whole BWO.
Yeah, Kimona. Yeah, that would have been awesome too. And like you said, Francine, Beulah, you could add some valets in there. Oops, miss. You know, almost, yeah. But yeah, that's the story of OSFTM though.
So, Scott, we round out ECW. We've got another wrestling figure toy line to decide upon who we are going to choose to cover next.
Yeah, listeners, any suggestions? Hit us with some audio. Let us know what's up. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you wanted to cover next.
Yes, I have been reading up on New Japan figures.
Oh, based on our discussion last week.
Correct. So I've kind of started already researching those. We do have a special show coming up. I'm hoping to schedule everything in August. It's a special show that I think everyone will love, but we got to still nail down some people for that show. So I've been kind of also focusing on that too, but I won't give any more away.
So you're teasing us with New Japan figures and another special episode.
Another special episode. Okay. So, Scott, we've got a listener segment. We got 4 audio questions. Count them, 4. And we got a couple emails, so...
Those are my favorites.
What do you say we hit that up?
Let's do it.
Scott, this is our first of 4 questions. this is actually more of a story, and it's kind of an awesome story because it shows the love of wrestling figures in a downtime. This audio story comes from Brian Williams.
Hello to the Fully Postable stable. Are you a Paul Jones stable or are you a Bobby Heenan family stable? I'm thinking Heenan family. Send in this message to say I love your podcast and to tell you a short kind of collecting toy spotting story. When I was younger, until like first grade, I really spent most of my time in hospitals and stuff. So I spent most of the time, because I was sick a lot, I spent most of the time watching TV. That's why I got in really into wrestling and finding really obscure promotions that nobody else was watching on TV at that time and stuff. But one of the only things I could do a lot of times, because I was in oxygen tents, was play with toys. I couldn't even see the TV because you were inside this oxygen tent. And I loved wrestling, so I played wrestling toys. Now, for the most part, I played with G.I. Joe toys as wrestling toys. I mean, they even had a Sergeant Slaughter, so you had an actual wrestler there because you could put them in moves. So I wasn't huge into wrestling toys early on. I had a Junkyard Dog and a Hulk Hogan LJN, which I loved a lot. I love that JYD more than any of the others. It's actually one of my favorite wrestling toys ever. But anyway, my favorites were the Renko figures. And I've made no bones about it. I still love that ring, even though it can be kind of a crappy ring. And believe me, I broke the post a couple of times. And I think I cracked it in the middle a couple of times. But I still wish I had that. And I've came close to buying one. But I'm not paying that much money. Even like used ones I've seen go for like $80 with the ropes broken, you know, cracked and everything else. And I'm not paying that much for it. But anyways, when I was younger, I played with those Remco figures, and I actually got the whole set, like, of all of them at once when I was little, because I had a really serious health issue come up at one time, and my family just went whole on board, you know, all on board, and went and bought me several family members and relatives, all of them. Probably because they thought I was going to die, but whatever. So they went and bought me all of them, because originally all I had was the Road Warriors, the Long Riders, and I think it was the Long Riders, wasn't it? The Wild Bill Irwin team, whatever. I had the Road Warriors and them, and I think I maybe had Scott Hall, but they went and bought all the rest of them at a local store that had them all. And I had those for years and stuff. And the great thing about those is I could also play with them with He-Man, which I think was mentioned before. But, oh, sorry, I'm making this way too long. But I wanted to say I love y'all's podcast. And an idea for a shirt. How about a shirt with Scott and Jeff, but with the editor as your manager? I think that would work. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, Brian, for sending in that question. That's an awesome story, man. That's another story of wrestling figures that just kind of warms our hearts.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned it right before the story. It's one of those wrestling figures bringing you up during a downtime in your life. We literally just had this conversation with Marty, and now here's another story completely backing that one up, that, you know, he had a life-threatening issue, was in a tent, and it kept him going playing with these wrestling figures. But dude, really what I'm pulling from this, he had all the Remcos.
I know, right?
I mean, not only are his spirits lifted by wrestling figures, those wrestling figures are all of the Remcos. That includes the Matt Manias. Could you imagine how awesome? Look, when we talked about the Remcos, my biggest point about them was their playability and their being, no pun intended, fully posable. The heads, the arms, the legs, the waist, everything about them was posable. They were easier to do moves with. And he mentioned the same thing that Marty did. They were able to use G.I. Joe figures to do wrestling moves because of their posability. Yeah, and then he was using He-Man figures as well. That is such a cool story, dude, that he had basically a television and a ring full of all of the Remcos to recreate his favorite matches with. I think that's awesome. Wrestling figures bringing you up during a downtime, and those specific wrestling figures being all of the Remcos. Dude, 5 stars.
And the ring.
Yes.
I know you weren't a fan of the ring, and I know I've seen the pictures on Google Images, people's rings that were just absolutely demolished, and they were thrashed.
Yeah. Ours was thrashed.
But I love that ring. There was something special about that ring. It was the canvas. I know the posts were wood. I know the ring was cardboard, but it had a, and maybe this is the nostalgia side of me.
Maybe.
But I did like that ring. I loved it.
I liked it to an extent, but I hated the durability of it. That was the worst part of the ring. I didn't mind the wood. I didn't mind the little white plastic rings that were the turnbuckles. The ropes, they were okay, but they stretched out a little bit too easy. But it was the overall durability of that ring that really just left a bad taste in my mouth. If they had made it a little bit more sturdy, you know, maybe it moves up a little bit in my book. But look, if you want a durable AWA ring now, you've got to buy one that's been untouched. Like that Battle Royal AWA ring that came with all of the figures, which we had. Yep. You got to get your hands on something like that, or the steel cage playset that came with the ring. That's really the only way you're going to get a good shape AWA ring in these days.
In box, unopened, that's the only way to get it.
Untouched, dude, unplayed with, that's the only way. Otherwise, it's going to be broken wood on the posts. The cardboard itself is going to be all warped and bent. The ropes are going to be completely stretched out. So, yeah, you've got to get one untouched inside the box.
Brian, thank you for sending in that.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for telling us your story, man. That's awesome to hear. Glad you're feeling better and hope you're doing well these days. Scott, question number two comes from my buddy Fred over at the Kayfabe Connection.
Hey, what's up, Jeff and Scott? It's your real life friend, not storyline friend, Fred from the Kayfabe Connection. Just wanted to throw an audio question your way. So, what are your thoughts on Then Now Forever with, you know, like that Bash at the Beach and the Shield that have come out recently in the 3-pack? Why don't we have a 10-pack? One of those figures can be Godfather. The other 9 can be his. Okay, no, I'm just I'm just kidding. Actual question. So I actually thought of this at dinner. This is just a random staring at my salad, thought of an idea kind of thing. What kind of original idea do you guys have as far as like a cool, it could be a figure, it could be a ring, anything wrestling / toy related that maybe hasn't been done yet? What kind of, I know I'm putting you on the spot, come up with a $1 million idea, but just anything that you've thought of, just something that you think would be cool, that collectors would be into, not just kiddies, of course, because we're old kiddos, but just collectors in a whole. For instance, I thought, how cool would it be if, you know, Mattel came out with sort of a build your WrestleMania set, and maybe it includes like 3 of the most memorable Manias. So you get a ramp, you know, you get like a universal deal, like you get the ring, you get the entrance ramp, but the entrance ramp could be like WrestleMania 30, and so it'd look, it'd be kind of a scale replica of what the set looked like. I mean, not saying you're gonna have LED lights in it, but I don't know, just something random that I thought. I think it'd be cool to like recreate a WrestleMania entrance ramp, you know, put all your figs and stuff on the entrance ramp and walk them down to a ring. I think that would be so cool. So do you think that's a cool idea? One. And then two, what kind of ideas do you have as far as maybe a cool toy or just anything wrestling related that really hasn't been done yet? Thanks, guys. Love what you do on the show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Fred, for sending in that question. Scott, what do you have?
I think that's an excellent question posed to us, and also an excellent idea by Fred. Fred, thank you for sending that in. He's onto something with that LED ramp. We know that they're getting ready to come out with that Goldberg Elite and then the ring that he comes with, you know, the Mattel cash grab.
Yeah.
The ring itself is supposed to have the LED on it. I think the ramp is coming next. It's becoming more of a part of the wrestler's entrance. And I think if done correctly, they could sell that thing for $60 or $70 all day, as long as you have it do the different entrances for the biggest wrestlers on the roster. I think that is Mattel's next big moneymaker, and I would imagine we're going to see it within the next year.
So you're saying it's going to be the stage, but it can be interchangeable. So like you can drop a card in or drop something in, and it'll be WrestleMania 3, and it'll just be a motorized cart coming out.
No. You're getting carried away with carts again, dude. You really want to have that cart.
That's, you know what? That's my million-dollar idea right there, is the cart.
I think that would be awesome, and we've talked about that too, dude. I think the cart would be a huge moneymaker. If anything, an SDCC exclusive I think would be awesome. But no. I'm referring more to like the WrestleMania 33 ramp that they used this year. I'm saying something maybe like, I don't know, it doesn't have to be necessarily like 2 feet long, but something that can do some really cool like LED animations on it. And would be able to do like the Roman Reigns entrance and the Randy Orton entrance. I think something like that. And you sell it for like $60 or $70. But the kids that love to play with their figures are going to be begging their parents to get them this entrance ramp. The people that are doing pictures on Twitter, i.e. at Ring Skirts, or the guys that do the figure photography. Could you imagine how much better their stuff is going to look on an LED entrance ramp that actually has, like, say Roman Reigns, for example, where the top of it says Roman Reigns? Or better yet, let's use Jinder Mahal.
Yeah,
how it like extends out, like the design on the ramp itself extends out as he walks down the ramp. You do something like that, that adds a whole extra layer of playability to your toys, and I think it's cool. I think Fred was definitely onto something there. I could see Mattel making a lot of money with that.
We could also go back to our wish list and throw figures out there that could be made.
Right. That was the second part of Fred's question. So thank you for the great idea to Mattel. It wouldn't be surprising for me to see them come out with that in the next year, that LED ramp. I think that's an awesome idea. Regarding something original that hasn't been done yet. Look, Maddie Collector's been done, but ended way too soon. And they were onto something. They were hitting a lot of us collectors who have that nostalgia need where there's figures that maybe have been made in the past but have not been made well.
Right.
That's my idea, is to bring something like Maddie Collector back. And I think even Marty DeRosa mentioned it during our interview with him, is to have something like that back to basically cater to the hardcore collector. You don't need to make a ton of these things. You're not releasing it to mass market, but you are releasing it to your hardcore fans that want something different. For example, a Midnight Rockers 2-pack.
The Rock and Roll Express will be done in the Hall of Fame.
Well, hopefully. Hopefully.
I bet you we see that at San Diego Comic-Con, and I'm going to lose my mind.
Hopefully we do see that.
That's one of my predictions for San Diego Comic-Con.
I hope that you're right, because I really want that too. They need to correct the wrong that was done by Jax. But the only guarantee we have on the Rock and Roll Express is that they're going to be in WWE 2K18, because they always put the Hall of Fame class in. We don't have a guarantee. We'll find out next week. But we don't have a guarantee that the Rock and Roll Express are going to have figures. Give us a Rock and Roll Express 2-pack. Not only that, put the NWA tag team titles with them. Give us a Midnight Express. Something like that, where you can release a set of figures once every 3 months. But it's strictly to your hardcore collectors that are going to be signed up to a website, that are going to get an email saying, go. You go to the website, you make your purchase, you get your figures. Something like that. It's not necessarily a $1 million idea, but it's catering to something that I want. You know, give us the figures from the 80s and the 90s that we didn't get good ones of, or any of for that matter. They finally did a Magnum TA, thank goodness. They finally did a Macho Man in his robe. But, you know, give us a WrestleMania 3 Ricky Steamboat. You know, they could really go crazy with this line. But I'm saying something that caters to us hardcore collectors, us old guys that are looking for that nostalgia. You know, give us a Playboy Buddy Rose.
They tried to do that with the Four Horsemen, and that didn't do so hot.
But again, that went to mass market.
So you're saying, yeah, but if it goes to mass market, it should be making more money, shouldn't it?
Not necessarily, because you're only making so many of that specific figure.
Okay.
Say you limit it to like 5,000. Or 3,000, whatever. Kind of like what FTC is doing with their line. You're limiting how many you're making. And you're basically, like I said, sending an email to the collectors. On this date, at this time, go. And everybody's crashing that website. Everybody's placing their orders. And if there's some left, fantastic. That means if you missed it, you can get on later. If they're gone, they're gone. And Mattel's not on the hook to make any more of them. They're not catering to anybody. It's less shipping they're having to do to all these retailers. You know, just straight to the, and we're paying for the shipping. So I would prefer something like that, where Mattel kind of caters to the hardcore collector that wants something nostalgic. It's not necessarily a million dollar idea. It's just something that I personally want from Mattel. Because I'll tell you, if Maddie Collector was still around, I'd still be buying figures from them.
I would too. There was a couple I missed out on, and I still kick myself. I missed the first Andre. I missed the Bundy. Two figures I was like, oh, why did I do that? Why did I not buy those?
Well, and look, they might bring it back. They're bringing back entrance grates, so that's a good sign. So maybe they'll bring back Maddie Collector. Who knows?
So again, thank you, Fred, for sending in that question. We'll see you, NOLA, next year, bud. Scott, question three.
Threesa comes
from special guest Sean. He was goofing around in the office the other day as we were delirious from work, so why not?
All right, Sean, another question. Fine.
Hi, Jeff and Scott. Jeff is staring at me longingly from right next to me. It's really weird.
That's actually a fact.
It is a fact. See? Yeah, there it is. So I had a suggestion for Scott's secret question, but I'm sending it in as an audio question since you guys love audio questions. Which wrestling federation do you wish would have gotten figures but never did? And go.
So when I heard this question, Scott, first thing that came to my mind was World Class.
Oh, that's very good. That's actually different from the first one that popped into my head, but I like yours too.
But then I started kind of going back and I was like, well, what about NWA? We had WCW, but we didn't have NWA.
Yes.
So I think NWA would be my first answer. World Class would be my second.
The one that immediately jumped into my head?
New Japan?
Nope. UWF.
Ooh. Terry Gordy.
Yes, not the Herb Abrams UWF from the early 90s, but the UWF that merged with the NWA that became WCW. So I'm talking Dr. Death Steve Williams, Bam Bam Terry Gordy, Hacksaw Duggan, Ted DiBiase, Terry Taylor, Sting, Rick Steiner. The list goes on. The Freebirds.
Knowledge.
Dude, could you imagine black packaging with the red UWF logo at the top and a plastic bubble with a Dr. Death figure in it? Money. I would love to see a UW. Look, Angel of Death could get his first figure. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. Good idea, good choice, dude. I didn't even think about UWF.
It was literally the first one that popped into my head, and it's a shame that, like you mentioned with the NWA, that we never had an NWA line of figures. You could argue that some of the AWA Remcos were actually NWA figures, so they did kind of get figures. But the UWF got zero love. Same with World Class. But yeah, I honestly, my number one would be the UWF. I was such a huge fan of the UWF, dude. To have figures of it on UWF packaging would just be awesome.
Those are three really good answers, actually, right there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's, hey, maybe that's the answer to Fred's question.
Boy, talk about hitting a very small market. Like, how many people would actually remember the UWF?
Well, and this is what ties into the whole Maddie Collector idea. You know, you could do, if you do a round of figures every 3 months, you put out like two or three. You know, you do a tag team and two singles guys. You could do a UWF 1 month or one in one quarter that's like a Dr. Death, a Ted DiBiase, and a Fabulous Freebirds, or a Sting and Rick Steiner. You know, and then 2 months later, you know, you do a set every quarter. You do an NWA set that's like, you know, a really good Surfer Sting and the Rock and Roll Express. And I don't know, give me another singles guy, Barry Windham. You know, and you just make so many of them, and they're geared towards the hardcore collector that has that need for the nostalgia.
You got me with it. You're selling me on it, dude. I've
sold. Hire me, Mattel.
So special guest, Sean, thanks for sending that in. I'll see you Monday morning.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. No, really, that was a good question.
That was. And Scott, our last audio question comes from David Myers down in Los Angeles. What does David have to say?
Hello, Jeff and Scott. This is David. I'm not sure how your podcast has become one of my favorites since I haven't bought an action figure in more than 15 years, but it has. I love listening to you guys every week. Here's my question. When I was a kid, I had the best grandparents in the world, and I used to set up an a ring and a whole arena in their living room, and I would type up a wrestling card, and I would literally hold wrestling events every week, and there would be storylines, and I don't know how, but my grandparents would sit there and watch me act out these matches with figures and do commentary and all this crazy stuff. And my question is, did you guys ever do that, and did you ever have people watch? Thanks for your show, guys. It's such a blast to listen to.
Yeah, we definitely played the hell out of our wrestling figures. We would have storylines. We would book the matches. We'd lay our figures out. What I would do, if it was a tag team match, I would put the two guys on one side and kind of put it like a little small barrier in the middle. And it used to be like a Lincoln Log thing separating them from the other guys that they were taking on that night. So I knew who was facing who that night. So then I would kind of book it as who was popular, who wasn't. So like SD Jones would take on Adrian Adonis for some reason, and that would go up first. And then, man, who else? I'm trying to think off the top of my head, because usually the Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation usually went on last. Same with Steamboat and Savage. Andre usually went on last, or he would be kind of towards the end of the card. JYD would probably be second or third match, and whoever he was taking on. So yeah, I used to book my matches. I'd get up, I'd have sore feet because I couldn't walk because pins and needles were driving into my feet because they were asleep. Oh yeah, yeah, we used to do this all the time. As far as audience, no, I used to record myself as a commentator doing matches.
I remember that.
And it wasn't good. But the other thing I used to do, and we've talked about this on the show, is I needed, for some reason, even though I didn't have Rock and Roll Express figures, I would put the tape recorder up to the TV and I would hit the orange record button and play, because you had to hit them at the same time.
That's how you recorded.
Put it up to the TV, and then I would play that as somebody's entrance for somebody that didn't have any entrance music. And so I would do that with the Rock and Roll Express. I would do that with the Midnight Rockers. Then for WWF, I would be doing that with anybody that had entrance music. Until they started coming out with tapes that had like Girls in Cars and, you know, Savage's. Actually, no, I don't think anyone had Savage's music. I had to use that off the tape recorder. But that's what would be our entrance music, was that.
Yeah, you were definitely a lot more hardcore than I in terms of playing with the figures. I set up mine similar to you. When I'd have matches, I would sit Indian style in front of the ring, of course. And I'd start setting up all my matches off to the right-hand side, and I'd pair the guys up with what matches were going to happen, and that would be my card. And then as I'd just start going down the line grabbing them, but it would be very specific. Like you mentioned, you have an undercard and a main event, and it was very specific into how those lined up, and I would give a lot of thought to that, you know, and it was in terms of like who my favorite guys were. I never got into recording music like you did. You did that, and it was awesome. But I can remember specifically, I never did have an audience either, to answer that part of David's question. I never did have an audience. But I do specifically remember, I think I was in 10th grade and I was off for like 2 weeks because I had gotten a lung infection from a really bad case of bronchitis. It actually went into my lungs and they kept me out of school for like 2 weeks.
I remember that.
And during that 2 weeks is when we got the Black Card LJN series. Warrior, Warlord, Strike Force, the Hart Foundation. We got a ton of figures in, and I was off for those 2 weeks of school. And dude, all I did from the time I woke up to the time that you came home, because when you came home, you kind of took over the ring because I had had them all day, I would just play with my LJNs, dude. And it was awesome. I'm setting up matches, and that's when I had my epic Warlord and Axe versus the Hart Foundation match. I think they were called like Powers of Demolition or something like that. I had that epic 2 out of 3 fall match, but that's one of my best memories, is just being able, I had full access to him the entire day. I didn't have to worry about you coming in and being like, dude, it's my turn with the LJN. No, it's not. Get out of here. You don't need these. Beat it, kid. Just having uninterrupted playtime with the LJNs was just awesome. But yeah, if you go back and you look at some of our figures, you can tell they were well-loved and well-played with. I don't know how many times I had to retouch up Jimmy Snuka or the Iron Sheik or one of our LJNs because it was just getting blown up in the ring and it was starting to get little flecks of paint knocked off of it. And so I'd grab my mom's Sharpies and start coloring them back in. But yeah, that was just the love of having the figures, and they were well loved and well played with. Every single one of them.
I remember you would grab that. Was it? It was a huge marker. It wasn't a Sharpie, but it was like this.
It was a hefty marker.
Yeah, a hefty marker. And you would be going through, and like Paul Orndorff's tights would start chipping off. And yep. You would be looking for the perfect red. And you're like, all right, this one matches up. And you'd start coloring it in. And then that would start to come off eventually. So you get the marker again, start coloring it in.
Always had to.
Those fumes from that marker, I swear, man.
Yeah. And you try to grab them and play with them. I'm like, no, dude, you got to let it dry. And I'm like smacking you away from the figure. Those are the good old days, man.
Yeah, Paul Orndorff was always on my card because he had a great pose and a great playability. So he was always booked on my card.
Yeah, and again, to go back to the Marty DeRosa interview, he was Marty's heavyweight champion by a different name. He wasn't Paul Orndorff. He was something else entirely because he looked like a world heavyweight champion.
He called him Radical Ricky Awesome.
Yeah, and that's what he looked like. He was just totally built. Like, if you were to look at the LJN line and have no idea who was who, and you were told, okay, pick out the heavyweight champion, I bet you 9 people out of 10 would pick up Paul Orndorff and be like, this is your guy right here.
Right, right, right.
He looked like an Adonis. He looked like a statue.
Yeah, he did. Thank you, David, for sending in that audio question. That was a fun question to answer. Scott, we did get a question via email. This comes from Travis from Baltimore. Wish list, a click 4-pack with cage and ring.
Oh.
So recreating that curtain call.
I like it.
WrestleMania 12 Iron Man, Shawn and Bret, special edition package with belt.
Nice.
President, Gorilla Monsoon Elite. He wants him in the president tuxedo.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, reminiscent of WrestleMania 12 when he was walking to the back and I was cursing at him.
Yes, you were. The only time you ever cursed at Gorilla.
Oh, dude. I cut a promo on him as he was walking to the back.
I'm surprised he didn't turn to you and say, will you stop?
I feel bad about that. And last but not least, a McMahon family 4-pack, Vince, Shane, Linda, and Steph.
That's actually a really good call. And I'm amazed, with as long as WWF figures / WWE figures have been going on, that they haven't done something like that.
And pictures just recently started surfacing of the prototype that Jax was supposed to make of a Linda McMahon.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I hope we do get that one day, dude. It would be cool to have a McMahon family pack.
It just started. I think it surfaced on the Wrestling Figs board. It's funny. All these prototypes just start surfacing now.
Interesting.
I was like, whoa, slow down.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Travis did have a question for us. Fast forward 40 years. What do you predict you will have done or will do with your collection? Will you have sold them to invest in more valuable pieces, leave it to your kids, etc.? Thanks, guys. Love the podcast. And he's repping our shirt in Baltimore. Thank you, Travis. That's awesome, man.
Scott, thank you, Travis.
40 years, you're going to be 83 with some Depends on. Are you still playing with wrestling figures?
I'll probably be dead then. My name is at Feed Me Taco Bell on Twitter. So, yeah. I also like Jaeger. So, I am definitely leaving it to my kids. I want them. It's something that they're going to remember me by. And I'm going to leave it to them. If they choose to sell it, so be it. I hope it goes to good hands. But yeah, that's something I definitely want to leave to my kid, especially with their love of wrestling that's starting to flourish. It's something I want to pass on to them, and I hope that they enjoy it as much as I did. If anything, they can stick it in the garage, you know, or they can sell it, you know, if they fall on hard times. But yeah, it's definitely going to the kids.
Hard times, baby.
Hard times, baby.
So 40 years from now, I'll be 78. Oof. God, I don't even want to think about that. Honestly, I could still see me having my collection up in my house and just staring at them.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, man, because I don't plan on going before 78, but hey, you never know what happens.
Yeah, you're a pretty healthy dude. If I outlive you, something's way wrong with the world.
Then I would encourage everyone to eat Taco Bell 3 times a week and
and enjoy your occasional shot of Jaeger. It's apparently really good for your lifespan.
Because it's funny, I go into the back room and I just look around. It's very therapeutic, just kind of looking at the figures in detail and just kind of staring at them. It's just kind of therapeutic, you know? So,
well, I know exactly what you mean. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I could totally still see figures hanging up on my walls and just me, you know, being wheeled back there because years of hockey took years off my knees. So I'd have probably be in a wheelchair.
I would just want to be in a room surrounded by them at all times. Like, that would be my room. I'd get my diapers changed in there. I'd have a TV in there.
Watching WWE Network.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Watching 80s matches, no doubt. Dreaming of a UWF figure line.
Scott, we did receive, oh, thank you, Travis, from Baltimore. Scott, we did receive one other question that came from Jose. It is super long. I'm going to make an executive decision, and Jose, I promise you this question will be on next week's show. I promise you, and we will make it a focal point of the listener segment. So bear with us. I promise we'll get to it next week.
Oh, it sounds very complicated, like the labyrinth.
It's... Okay, I know I'm going to catch heat for saying this, but I did not like that movie.
Wow.
Did you?
Now you're just somebody that I used to know.
Oh, you like that movie?
Yes, dude, it was The Labyrinth. Of course I like that movie.
Oh, all right.
Dude, if we lose listeners because of this, I'm always going to blame you.
Boot me in the face.
Yes.
So, Jose, I promise we'll get to that next week. Scott, you're going to be hitting me with some hard-hitting everyone has a price action this week.
Yep, everybody's got a price. Let's see how you do.
Scott, this is kind of like your secret question on me. Everyone has a price.
Yes, I relish it. It's a chance for me to slap you back.
So this week, you throw four figures at me. I have to guess in order which figures is priced highest to lowest or lowest to highest.
Yes, and we take four, and you guess in either direction that you would like to go. So, Jeff, with that said, do you have pen and paper ready?
I am ready to go.
All right. So I think you're going to like the theme this week. It is tag teams.
Ooh, all in.
Yes, and it's also completely old school.
Ooh, all in even more.
Yes, double all ins. First up, Remco Fabulous Freebirds. This would have been the three pack that, of course, all the accessories were cloth. It was Terry Gordy, Michael Hayes, and Buddy Jack Roberts.
Okay.
Next up, Remco Legion of Doom. This would be the three pack with Paul Ellering, not the two pack that came with LOD and the title belts. LOD in this one had dog collars on, and Paul Ellering had a black Road Warrior shirt on.
Okay.
Next, LJN British Bulldogs.
Okay.
Last up, technically this is a tag team, but they were released individually. Hasbro Smoking Guns.
Oh, crap. That green card series.
Yes. So you're taking the individual price of Bart and Billy, mashing them together, and coming up with a value and where you're going to rank them 1 through 4.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to go lowest to highest.
Okay, start at the bottom.
Lowest Fabulous Freebirds Remco.
Very good.
Okay.
Would you like to guess values?
Fabulous Freebirds Remcos. Oof. You know, I haven't checked these out. I'm going to throw a value of $285.
Well, you're way high. You can actually acquire those mint on card for $60 to $90 on eBay.
Really?
Yes, sir. Anywhere in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Next highest.
I'd have to go LOD Remcos.
And you'd be correct again.
Value on that, I would say, okay, since Fabulous Freebirds were 60 to 90, I will say 175.
Very close. 150 for that Remco 3-pack with Paul Ellering. These are all mint on card, by the way, not loose.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
This is where it gets real tricky. Mm-hmm.
You had to throw in that green card series, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I did. It had to be the green card.
Oh, I'm going to say Smoking Guns green card.
And you would be incorrect.
No! Are you serious?
I am. Dude, I don't joke about wrestling figures, okay?
So it's the Bulldogs, LJN. I'll say $740?
Way high.
Really?
This is why it's awesome to jump on eBay, because I would have been guessing the same dollar amounts that you were. And I don't know if maybe the values just aren't what we thought they were at one time. But would you like to guess again on the LJN Bulldogs?
Well, since I was way high, I'll say 525.
Still way high.
No way.
Yeah. This is mint in the box.
Mint in the 425?
No. Still high.
325?
Still high.
This can't be right, dude.
I'm going off of sold auctions.
Wow.
And the box didn't look that bad in the picture, but it could have been pretty bad. It could have been. But these were in the box, British Bulldogs.
275?
243. Sold.
How many auctions did you check out of curiosity?
There weren't many that were boxed. A lot of them were loose. So I scrolled through, right, and that was the last one that I found. LJN British Bulldogs, 243 in the box.
So Smoking Gun, Hasbro, Billy and Bart. I'm going to have to say 675.
You're on the real high. Well, not real high side, but you're high right there. You're on the high side.
Wow, because this green card series, each figure goes for a lot of money.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But bring it down.
490.
You're super close. They actually ranged between $375 and $500, depending on the grade of the card. There were a set they sold individually. Each one went for $249.99. And then on the low side was about anywhere from $180 to $193.
Wow.
Yep. So Smoking Guns, they win that round.
Interesting, because I thought the Bulldogs would be way higher.
I did too.
Most of those LJN tag team packs that are carded or mint in box on eBay, I always see around $500, $600.
Yep. Unopened WWF LJN Wrestling Superstars British Bulldogs, $242.56.
Wow, that guy got a steal on eBay.
Yes, he did. There's the poster, and that was it. That was the only one I could find, actually. And yeah, and I'm actually looking at the British Bulldog set now, and it does have a ding on the very top, like behind that top flap where you actually opened it up to pull the plastic bubble out that had the two figures. There's a pretty good ding. It looks like somebody might have like dropped something on the top of the box, kind of, and it only affects that opening flap behind that top flap. But other than that, the card looks pretty good for being, you know, what, from 1987, 1988, somewhere in there. 30 years old. It looks really good. But yeah, $243, dude. It's pretty shocking. We talked about this. You know, you go on and you think you're going to pay a lot of money to complete some of these sets. It's not really that bad. If you have the money to invest and you want to start putting some of these old sets together, it's not as bad as you think. It's definitely not as bad as I thought it was.
Because those carded Hasbros, man, those things go for some major bank.
Well, yes.
There was a couple of people on Twitter today that were talking back and forth saying how the past 5 years, these carded Hasbros have just gone through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? As valuable as those carded Hasbros are, I don't regret for a second ripping open those green cards at all. Not a bit, dude. Not a bit.
I really like that Ludwig Borga too.
I like the Smoking Gun set. I think they're awesome.
I thought they were good. I didn't like how, was it Billy that was in the spring punching arm?
Correct, yes.
I did not like that. I don't know why, but that just bugged me that they gave him the spring punching arm.
Yeah, it should have been Bart Gunn because he was in the Brawl for All and he did so well.
Well, he actually won the thing, except then he had to actually fight Butterbean.
Yeah. Is it bad that's what he's remembered for? Multi-time tag team champion, but we remember him getting laid out by Butterbean.
I don't know what you're talking about. I always remember him being part of the new Midnight Express.
Oh, dude.
What?
Why?
What?
Oh, it's so bad.
Scott, that rounds out episode 78. Anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
No, not yet.
Oh.
I just wanted to know if you wanted to throw anything else in.
Oh, you threw me off there. I'm like, dude, you're not going to do any plugs? You just want me to go straight to the happy toy hunting and we're getting out of here? let's see. What can I complain about? Look, Kurt Angle's tease at the end of Raw. Is he really going to have a kid?
Dude, I don't know.
Like a long-lost child? Come on. Or a mysterious wife?
This is like a dramatic storyline thing, dude. Ugh. I don't know.
I mean, look, haven't they learned their lesson from like the crap that TNA did with that whole AJ Styles and whatever her name was and the whole Katie Vick thing with Kane? And I mean, really, like Kurt Angle needs to do this? Just let him get in the ring and kick somebody's ass. Like, do we really need to give him a child or a mistress or something weird?
We don't know what it's going to be yet. We'll find out Monday.
Ugh.
Claire Lynch. You had to bring up Claire Lynch.
That was her name. Thank you.
You know, when I began this show tonight, when I started doing the spiels and the plugs and all that, I never thought Claire Lynch would make it onto the show.
Or Katie Vick.
That one I kind of expected.
Wow. Are we that lowbrow now? Wow.
Of course, dude.
All right, well, that's my only rant for this week is the whole Kurt Angle thing. Just put the guy back in the ring.
If he can go, dude, his body might be jacked up.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure that they can squeeze a couple more matches out of him. I'm going to go with what Brandon said and that he was talking to Stephanie, and this is going to lead to a Triple H versus Kurt Angle match at SummerSlam. That's where I'm putting my money, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Done deal, pal.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Again, head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro or Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirt. Again, every sale from that helps us come up with more designs, more products, more merch for this podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. You can email us any audio questions, any questions, or wishlist fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, next week, San Diego Comic-Con, we're gonna be busy.
Yeah, we're gonna be talking about a lot of news and hopefully a lot of good figures coming out in the next year.
So Scott, for episode 78, anything else?
Yes, a couple things. First, continue to follow Pollyanna DIY on Twitter. He's still doing big things. Also, I want to say thank you to Marty DeRosa for just an awesome interview with the Brothers Tune this past week that we dropped on Friday, that podcast. Please go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy listening to it. And happy toy hunting.
#FigLife. Adios.